I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with that damn dirty buffering the vampire slayer. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. Bones, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad, Pow Pow, a.k.a. Theodore K. Mullins, a.k.a. Gilly, a.k.a. lover of long-winded bits.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. also Bones, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, Bang Bang, a.k.a. Frank Skabopoulos, a.k.a. sorry, and a.k.a. also a lover of long-winded bits.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 3, Episode 16, Sleep Tight. Sleep Tight was written by Angel co-creator David Greenwalt and directed by Terrence O'Hara. It aired on the WB on March 4th, 2002.
And this is the one where Wes fails very hard in his desire to do the right thing and both protect Connor and remain friends with Angel.
Previously on Angel. Check him out, he's Mr. Dad! Lila's got the blood of Angel's son! Sasha needs the blood of Angel's son! Things have been slow since Cordy and Gru went on vacation. I mean, they've been all slow all season, but okay. Wes is all holed up with his books and his prophecies. The Jolly Burger tells Wes of the signs. Lila says the plan's already started. And the signs are earthquake, fire, blood.
Just right there to get your stomach just like clenched in the knot that it will be in for the next 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we open being reminded the father will kill the son.
We truly do. And we see Connor like crying in his bassinet. An Angel comes in and he says, "Don't you know what you're supposed to do?" We have the like foreboding moment of this. Is this another one of Wes's deeply unpleasant dreams? No, it's not. He's like, "You're supposed to pick them up when they fuss." And we see that Connor is in a cute little set of overalls, which melted me.
We see that Angel is gulping a big old glass of blood.
good God, when we get to that part, I'm going to have words because I didn't remember it. And I was so horrified, let me tell you.
Yep. That's why I kept hitting it hard, baby.
Yeah, you were right too. Good God. He's like, "Oh, Wes, you look like hell." And like, not the fun kind, like the Nixon and Britney Spears hell. And I'm like, this is where we should have known something was off. Britney Spears, how dare you? Blasphemy.
Yeah, my note is a 2002 Britney Spears joke. How apt. And I also have, I think we should play the patriarchy jingle right here, obviously.
Absolutely. That's some patriarchal bullshit.
The patriarchy!
You know, Britney Spears is as bad as that criminal Richard Nixon.
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other. That is not, they are not analogous. So I would get much more angry at Angel were he not under the influence of human blood. So I guess I'll let it slide.
Maybe Angel knows something about Britney Spears.
What does he know?
When did he know?
What does he know? When did he know? All right, so now we're going to do like a Serial-esque podcast to figure out what Angel knew about Britney Spears. So Wes is like, "Hey, you seem chipper." And Angel's like, "Yeah, I don't know if it was the earthquake or whatever, but I didn't sleep and I'm full of energy. I could drink a horse." Gulp.
Gulp, gulp, gulp. They don't have insurance on the hotel, apparently, which what did David do with all these fake documents?
I don't know. I feel like David would have gotten them insurance. Maybe... I don't know what the reasoning would be to not get them insurance. And I don't know why we haven't seen David in a while. I miss him.
We're the only Angel podcast that's always like, "Where's David? What's David up to?"
He's just so sweet. I love when Cordy considers marrying David. And I'm like, "Yeah, get that money, girl." Do it. So then we hear some singing outside and we realize in the courtyard, Lorne has a client. He is listening to her sing. She's playing the guitar. She's good.
And is this also, I needed to, the first time Wes has called him Lorne and not the host? Because they took a long time to stop calling him the host in the season, as we know.
Fucking finally. Like, maybe Wes is just so awfully formal with everybody. Maybe we're just missing when he was constantly like calling Gunn like Mr. Charles Gunn and Miss Winifred Burkle.
That would be a great bit for Wesley. I would love to see that.
Would love.
Mr. Geraldo Angel.
Yes. So, like, Angel takes Connor out to watch the singing lady, and he starts fussing, so he takes him around the hotel. He shows him some swords to get him to calm down, which, all right. And then he's like, "Oh, shit, we gotta baby-proof this place."
Oh, Angel. Yeah, there are weapons everywhere.
Well, I guess they're not going to need to do that now.
Jesus Christ, Morgan, already.
I want to die. Meanwhile, something cute happens, and it's that Gunn and Fred are on the phone together and, like, talking as they walk up to each other. Good Lord.
Yes, it's very cute. But I also wanted to talk real quick about Angel telling Connor that Uncle Wes loves you. He's just English.
Yes, I love that very much.
Because that's why they think Wes is acting weird. It's just because he's British. That's what they think is happening here.
You know how the British don't sleep and they look like
they
shit.
Just
and
they stare at babies.
They seem like they're under the weight of the world.
They stare at babies like they think someone's going to murder you soon.
Oh, God. That's so fearful, the British. Yeah, deeply silly. Gunn and Fred have a California versus Texas talk.
And Gunn is, of course, right.
I fully agree with Gunn. California forever, baby. Fred's hair is down in this episode. And I would like to note that because she's been in, like, pigtails and, like, buns and braids and a lot of this. And she looks so pretty. Amy Acker, looking beautiful in this app. I just wanted to shout out.
It's not fuckwatch time, Morgan. Jeez.
But, you know, it's important to seed information so that the fuckwatch movie feels earned and exciting.
Well, you know what? Gunn is also right that Texas hates the black man.
Fred disagrees, and she says, well, most of Texas doesn't hate the black man. Angel's like showing off the baby to Wes and is like, he likes you. And Wes just goes, I like him.
I think about that line delivery, I like him too, so often, because it's the line delivery of someone who's going to kidnap a baby.
Yeah, truly the most awkward, self-conscious kidnapping ever to happen. Poor Wes. I'll say it a million times in this episode. Wes, buddy, my dude, you are going through it. And for that, I am sorry. But be different.
Be different. Lorne interrupts because he asks the crew to come see his friend Kim. He's like, what's happening? The one who's singing. So she's singing. She's singing. It's so lovely, right?
Yeah.
And then it's not lovely.
No love, no life left. No you.
I'll hack your eyeballs out and rip your children in two.
And it's also another sign something is up with Angel, who, of course, you know, guzzling, because everyone's freaked out. Angel's not, like, he's not reacting to it. Like, it's he's so chill. Even when she says the part about ripping your children in two. Dude.
He's like, cool. Like, what's for lunch? Like, yeah, Angel is being very wild in this episode. We come back to the Hyperion lobby, and Angel is so hyped, he calls Gunn G.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And he calls him
I write down my notes, which makes me long for death.
I mean, he calls him G after Gunn takes a shot at once more with feeling. The feud is on, baby. Gunn says, yeah, who needs more doctors in the world when you could have singing demons?
I love that so much. Yeah, Lauren's like, oh, yeah, she was wasting her life being a doctor when she could have been a singer. Yeah, fair enough, Gunn. So Kim explains that she joined this new band that recently got really weird. Then Wes and Fred deduce that what's going on with her, like, they have their microscope and they analyzed her puke. And they're like, it looks like it's a demonic infection, which is curable. And they, you know, are going to put her on a magical antibiotic, which is nice to know. I like all of that stuff. Like, I love when they take that girl's eye on the back of the head away, which is the girl from the originals. Like, I like when there's, like, the little solvable, like, magical occurrences that are little ailments. I would love a magical doctor show.
What would he be called, Morgan?
Dr. Kazam. Dr. Dr. Abracadabra. Dr. Spell.
Dr. Kadabra.
Okay, let us write it. Anyone listening to this, you don't own Dr. Kadabra. We do. We wrote it down and mailed it to ourselves.
So Dr. Kadabra, we're doing Brim Johansson, Hat Detective, we're doing.
100%. And Wes's, the story about young Wes and his pregnant friend that he helps out.
And so Gunn asks, like, why would the demons want to look like musicians? And you know what? Angel's right. It is for the chicks, as we later see.
But I do not like it. I wrote down, like, saying chicks, whomst? Like, I did not care for that. Fred is like, well, before we barge in, should we maybe call, like, Cordy and Gru, get them to come back for backup? And Angel's like, no. Like, no, it's not a big deal. Like, just a couple demons. Like, we're going to handle this ourselves. And he is deeply gung-ho about this fight in a way that we don't usually see him to be.
Well, speaking of gung-ho, let's go to the Fighty Mansion, shall we?
Yay. Yeah, Justine's training. She's kicking ass. She's lecturing everyone. Never trust a vampire.
She's ADRing all over the place.
She ADRing every which way but loose. Holtz is drinking tea out of a styrofoam cup, which he calls a cotton cup, and says he doesn't like it.
With his freaking leather jacket. Like, he's dressing like Angel. I called it out last time, but, like, he's dressing like Angel. It looks so ridiculous, the leather jacket.
To catch your prey, sometimes you have to become them.
Oh, God.
So Justine kind of voices, for the first time ever, like, some concern about, like, killing human beings and, like, killing Team
Which
Angel.
Came out of nowhere because she had no problem with it in Loyalty. Like, letting Gunn and Fred die, she had no problem with it.
Yeah, it's very, that feels very odd, but whatever.
Holtz, I guess, because like, it would have been the vampires that killed them and not them specifically.
Yeah, I guess maybe that is an important distinction to her. Holtz is like, look, people who help, like there are people and then there are people who help vampires. He says, like, that's a whole other kettle of fish. And Justine's like, okay, like, I can justify that, like, and calls Team Angel enemy soldiers.
Yeah, they're really hammering home the soldier thing, because Holt is a soldier person, but, like, considering these guys are all duds, honestly, like, yeah, they never seem like an army or soldiers. Like, the cult thing was always the thing. And it's, when she's questioning him, this is where Holtz brings out, like, a knife. Like, he is about to stab her for rebelling.
But was he, or was he just going to cut his apple?
Because here's the thing, actually. It also says from the script that the knife is visible to from wherever Wes will appear. So Wes will see that, and then that will also put in his head that Holtz is not to be trusted on Justine's behalf. So maybe he wasn't going to kill her. But then again, he does leave her behind.
Yeah, we're having our cake and we're eating it too in that way, which I think is cool, and I think is good. And I appreciate, again, Wes is truly such a nice guy for, like, giving a fuck about Justine, who, like, couldn't be me. I'd be like, let whatever happens to her happens to her. Chips fall where they may, but
if she dies, she dies.
If she dies, she dies. But Wes is a better person than me, I guess.
Wes is a good person, which is the problem.
So he shows up, and Holtz is like, look, like, you're going through it. I feel you. Like, I am sympathetic to you, unlike my friend Justine here. And I'm like, okay, snaps for you. You don't get a cookie. Like, I hate you.
I kind of feel like I'm infantilizing Justine when I just talk about her, like, coming from the kids' table. But at the same time, that's what Holtz does. He undercuts her every single turn whenever she speaks to Wesley. Like, when she's like, what the hell do you want? Don't be rude, Justine. Or when Wes is asking about, you know, who she lost, and she's like, I don't want to tell you. And then Holt says it for her. Like, he treats her like a child.
He treats her like a child, and she acts very childishly. Like, I will back you up and say, I don't think you're infantilizing Justine. I think Justine is a very, like, immature and rash person, and, like, as a character. And I mean, I know you and I don't feel like this is a particularly well-drawn character or not really a great performance, but, like, I think that's definitely baked into who this character is. Like, Holtz is constantly speaking for her, and, like, it seems like this big, like, slow motion tragedy where he's about to just, like, dick her over, and this can't end well for her, and he's just drawing her into his web and ruining her life along with his nonsense. And it really sucks. Like, I think with a more successful version of this, we would feel really bad for Justine. And we would want Wes to do what he does and sticking up for her, and then feel very, like, heartbroken and betrayed when she does what she does. But instead, I just was like, get away. Like, when the time came, I was just screaming at Wes. I was like, run! Run, Wes! Don't trust this bitch! Like, so, you know, different strokes, different folks.
Also, you know, now that they're talking a lot about them being soldiers and stuff, I know I said, put Riley Finn in this cult. I'm going to say also, considering it's a grief cult, put Jeffrey Dean Morgan in this cult.
Yes, that would have been great. Again, like, if he'd, like, picked up more people. Yeah, that, again, if this had been Angel Rogues Gallery come back, like, I think that would have ruled and felt really poignant and felt like that would have tied in so much to the story it feels like they're trying to tell about how, like, even if you change, it doesn't undo your past. It still matters when you did bad things. And there's no atoning. There's just being better and being different and committing to being better and being different. And you can't, like, you just can't undo the past. And that would have been cool with a bunch of people from the past. But with only Holtz, I feel like that kind of, like, dampens it a little bit. Like, it's not as strong for me.
Obviously, Holtz is a pretty good cult leader, as we see. People want to fight for him. And, you know, the military thing, again, makes sense why Riley Finn would, for example, fall into his trap or whatever. Like, I enjoy a lot of the story for what it is, but, like, I just see how much better it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not quite as good as it could be. But there's still a lot of, that said, there's still a lot of great stuff around it and in it. And there are parts of it that are very successful that I think are great. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Our next scene is in Echo Park at our rehearsal space. The demon band's playing. They got their chicks surrounding them. And Angel Gunn smashes a trash can into the window and barges in. Angel shows up under a blanket.
Yes. So good.
I did not notice until my second watch, and I was like, what a little dweeb.
It's so funny.
These guys are so like, whoa, Mondo Bummer. Like, are you guys the A&R guys? Like, I thought their vibe was very funny. I really liked their, all the effects, where it's the idea that, like, they started off human and then, like, the demon aspects of them just started, like, poking out. So I like their kind of, like, half-human, half-demon looks. One of the guys calls Fred baby, though, and then, like, says he's got, like, the first ride on her, so they must die.
Yeah, and they do. Angel kicks ass so hard, he ripped one of their arms off, so.
Yeah, and Fred and Gunn are like, and Angel's like, that was fun. This is not my beautiful vampire boss. This is not the sad broody boy that I know. I don't like it.
I love you guys, but if Cordy were here, she would have called this out sooner.
Yeah, she absolutely would have. And I guess everybody is just a little too wrapped up in their own thing.
She would have asked if this is another body swap.
Are you an old man again? And he'd be like, I'm an old man always. She'd be like, God, good point. So then back at the fighty manor, Wes is like, hey, look, I just don't want anybody to get hurt. And Holtz is like, me neither. I'm nice, too. He says, and Angelus is much more violent than me. And Wes is like, Angel. His name is Angel. And that distinction does not matter at all to Justine and Holtz. Like, the soul doesn't mean shit. They do not care. And this is the moment where Wes, like, can tell that Justine lost someone and asks who it was.
Her twin sister Julia was murdered by vampires.
You lost family. I'm sorry. Angel and the people I work with are my family. And when I say I don't want to see anyone get hurt, I mostly mean them.
And Holtz is like, okay. Like, not fazed at all by him having Justine, you know, like, by the throat with a knife. Like, Justine, take your hint, girl.
But that's also foreshadowing, because she gets him back for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of shit.
Holtz is like, you're an honest man. Me too. And Wes is like, no, you're fucking not.
Maybe you once were, but not anymore, dude.
Yeah, and Holtz is like, look, I'm not the problem. Angel maybe being about to kill his son is the problem. And if you don't do something about that, I will. So he gives him a day to do what's right.
I gotta say, I am kind of disappointed in the whole stuff right now because of, you would think by this point there'd be even a slight introspection on his part about the loss of his soul, like maybe a reevaluation. Because we've talked about this like early in the story, but like here, it's like not there at all.
Even real people who even are pretty single-minded have moments of introspection and shading and or like things they do that don't fully line up or make sense. Like, Holtz feels very much all one thing. I think that the story is dealing in enough like cool, complicated territories that it could stand to have a villain that has more going on.
Mm. And it, like, Justine maybe should be the character who brings it out of him. But like I said, like, she doesn't. It's like when he and Wes are having their conversations and then she chimes in, it's just like, it's like, again, coming from the kids' table. It's just, there's not a level of gravitas coming from her that allows to bring out the introspection on his part, you know?
Yeah, I fully agree. And like you said, he's always shutting her down. So we don't see anybody like validate her point of view, which I feel like kind of feels like the show not really lending much credence to the ideas that she's bringing up. And like, I mean, in an ideal world, she'd be adding some nuance and there could be like some conflict in between the two of them about what good there is to be done. And like, you know, it can this be more than just revenge and things like that. But it's just kind of not there. And I mean, I guess I there's no, I mean, I like the amount of time we spend with Team Angel, and I'd rather be with them, because I do think I was really worried early on when I didn't really respond to both Holtz and Justine that they were going to be this like huge part of the season. Mm-hmm. But I do think that them being pretty simple has allowed their story to be pretty slight and has allowed us to just spend more time with our heroes. And honestly, I've been fine with that because I'd rather hang out with our buddies.
Yes, of course. Speaking of our buddies, Lauren's telling Connor a story about the Rat Pack with stuffed animals.
So cute. So cute. So cute. Connor's giggling. He likes it. Angel, Gunn, and Fred return, and Angel goes right for the blood.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't even check on Connor. In fact, he's snippy about Connor crying.
Yeah, Lauren's like, hey, I think he needs some papa love. And Angel's like, he needs a lot right now. What he needs is to grow up. Everybody, I draw the eye emoji in my notes because everybody's like, like, nobody likes this. It's deeply uncomfortable. I write in my notes, Angel yells, shut up at a baby.
Nope, don't like it. Don't care for it.
Fred's
like, what the fuck? He's just a baby. And to which Angel says, he's not going to be a baby for long if he doesn't shut up.
I am unwell. He then throws a glass against the wall, and I'm like, who are you, Klaus Michelson? Like, this is such uncharacteristic behavior, and it's so jarring, and it's so upsetting. Fred takes Connor, Gunn steps up with the crossbow, and they're like, what the fuck? And that's when Angel has, like, finally has his own wake-up call and says to himself, like, what's wrong with me?
And you did not remember at all what the reason was.
No, and I was so absolutely horrified. So we pick up, Angel's like, something's not right. And Lauren's like, yeah, you've been drinking a lot of blood. And he's like, yeah, this newest batch of pig's blood, it came from the same butcher, but it's a lot tastier than it usually is. And so they kind of are like, okay, well, it was really weird that you, like, got really jacked up for that fight, and then you kind of crashed. And Fred's like, yeah, like, my Aunt Viola and her southern comfort. Angel kind of, like, is defensive, which I appreciate, when he's like, I'm not, like, vampire, need to drink something red. Doesn't mean I'm a bloodaholic.
To which I just say, usually I do this at the end of the episode, but I think we need to do it now. We need an intervention with possible bloodaholic Angel. With a certain WB episode. Hit it, bitch.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They get that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see.
The episode I've chosen for Angel at this very moment, just in case, because you don't want to believe you're a bloodaholic, but sometimes you are.
Nobody does.
Is the Seventh Heaven episode, season 1, episode 10, The Last Call for Aunt Julie. If I may read the summary of the episode.
When
Eric's sister, Julie, spends Thanksgiving with the Camden family, they discover that she has a serious drinking problem. To the point where, because little Simon won't give her the key to the liquor cabinet, she throws him onto the couch. She chucks that blonde boy. And Angel, you're telling your baby to shut up. You're throwing glasses like you're Klaus Michelson. You could be a bloodaholic. It's a possibility. Don't shut that down. Look at Aunt Julie.
Of course the alcoholic on Seventh Heaven is Aunt Julie. Nothing's ever been more on brand, ever.
Okay, now we can return to the episode proper.
WB.
They get that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see. Oh,
yeah. So we go to Wes. He's walking home. He sees a father and son and gets sad. Then he clowns on Justine for being so bad at following him.
She's so bad at following him.
And she's like, I just want to talk alone. So then Wes says,
Holtz talks about justice and it's stirring, but what he wants is revenge. He's driven by it, blinded by it. And if you, me, or anybody else gets in his way, he'll kill for it.
Elegantly laid out. Justine is like, you're wrong. He's nice, actually.
He's done a lot for me, for all of us. What the fuck has he done for all of you, really? Like, I see him interact with you.
Does he know anyone else's names?
He learned Aubrey's name last week. Because she's like, I have a presentation.
And he was like, which one is this again, Justine?
But he doesn't know, like, who all these randos. All these men wearing sweaters and fighting vampires.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have names, though, to be fair. So I love Wes's response to, like, Justine saying he's actually good. He says, it sounds like a nice cult.
Yeah, it does.
I wrote that in all caps in my notes and drew hearts around it. Wes is done. He has had enough. And I write in my notes also, hello, Wes, are you free on Thursday? Because I am also free on Thursday.
He is not, because he has baby kidnapping to do.
Oh, right. Oops. Well, look, I'll make time whenever he's free.
Yeah, she calls him blind, saying that it's easier for him to hate Holtz than himself because, you know, he's going to betray his friend. And I was like, fuck off. It turns out Holtz was following Justine and she couldn't tell because she's super bad at this.
I do want to briefly go back when she's like, you're blind because you hate Holtz so much. And Wes is like, bitch, I got enough hate in my heart for both of us. Like, essentially, he's like, I hate us both. Bye. Just this poor, poor self-loathing man just really going through it. And I feel very bad for him. And I usually don't have a lot of patience for men who are, like, sad and angsty being just, like, navel-gazy and sad and making tough decisions and talking like this. But Wes is, he's in a pickle, and I really do feel for him.
Well, you could think he's not talking like this.
Yes, he's talking like this. Sounds like a nice cult.
Okay, Cruella.
So, yeah, Holtz is there. He followed her.
She's creepy, huh?
She's bad at following. She's bad at realizing she's being followed. Justine.
What is she good at?
Getting beat up for schemes.
Getting beaten up even when it's not a scheme too, honestly.
Truly. Wearing very clompy boots.
Clumpy.
So I feel you can. That's why she's bad at following. Is you can hear those chunky boots from a mile away. Clomp, clomp, clomp. So our next scene takes place at the Hyperion lobby. LaToya, how were you doing when Angel was scared to hold his own son?
Not well. He loves his son. No, he doesn't want to hold his son because he's scared. No.
I was fucking losing my shit. So this is where we reveal that there are traces of Connor's blood in the pig's blood that Angel got. And Angel knows this and it confirms this because lately Connor has smelled like food. So watched this with Michael for the first time and he yelled, I yelled, neither of us could believe something so fucked up was happening. This is horrifying. Like, even for Wolfram and Hart, this is, like, one of the most vicious things I've seen in something in a minute. Admirable writing in terms of thinking of fucked up shit to do.
I mean, I guess, technically, it wasn't even Wolfram and Hart, because it's Sajan's plan that Lila went with, because Wolfram and Hart was just testing the blood.
Dang. you gotta be, no pun intended, cold-blooded to do that. You gotta really want to be ruthless and awful, because feeding someone their own child is absolutely disgusting.
It's kind of interesting, though, that while Sasha's been talking about, you know, how Angel's his nemesis and everything, and he brought Holtz back to kill him, mm-hmm. his focus seems to have been on killing Connor in this episode.
So weird. Weird.
Wonder what that's all about.
I do. So Lord is like, okay, they wanted you to get the taste for it. And Fred's like, who's they, though? Cut to Lila is in a halter top.
She's looking good with a T.
Right in my notes, all caps, Lila in a halter top, drinking scotch, drool. That I wrote any other note in this scene is remarkable, because good God, she looks great. She's doing little cat sounds in the mirror at herself.
Well, actually, at Angel.
A woman on the edge. She like senses Angel behind her, even though she can't see him. She's like, we're getting too close. This is gross. I love it. Angel, he's there to do threats. And he's like, you know, with blood transfusions, I could keep you alive indefinitely. Like, dot, 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 the unsaid, while I torture you.
And he tells her, like, just to cut the shit and talk to him like a person for once.
Yes, which is great. Like, it's cool to see them, like, sit down and really have to, like, fully have it out. Lila kind of says, like, look, I do what I have to do. And like, and I do it every fucking day when I put on my game face. Angel is seething so hard in this scene. Like, David Boreanaz is really bringing it. Angel says,
think about a game face, Lila. You wear it long enough, it stops being something you can put on and take off.
Wow. We've spent so much time and money on you. You're so pivotal to the coming cataclysms that I sometimes forget how dense you can be. The game face, the one I worked so hard to get, I became that years ago.
I love Lila in the scene so much. I love the way she mocks him, where she's like, I'm not one of your helpless that you, like, can help. Like, I'm fine. I am clear-eyed, and I know what I'm doing, and I'm fine with the path that I'm on. So, like, back off. We are enemies.
Yeah, she even brings up her mom, too, during all this, like we were talking about last episode.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting. Like, it that she even tries to justify it a little bit, I do think tells you just how much she's kind of wavering. She has that line where she was like, I was feeling a little all, like, what's it about? But I'm glad you came here and, like, clarified for me that I'm on the right fucking path. And I've been very interested in her, like, in her morality this season. It's been a good season for Lila, because, you know, we had Lindsay's back and forth thing, and I'm preferring Lila's. I she's just so goddamn cool.
You know who doesn't like it? Sajan, who thinks she's double crossing him because he couldn't hear what they were saying.
Fucking Three's Company ass bullshit.
Drinking with my sworn enemy. You're just like, who the fuck are you?
And Sajan's like, I'm not fucking telling you. And Lila's like, you fucking idiot. Like, you've told him everything you need to tell by showing up here. Like, that you're his sworn enemy and that you brought Holtz back and then you came to me when that didn't work.
And he has his name because Lila said it. So...
So Angel's like, hey, why do you want to kill me? And Sajan's like, you'll pay. To which Angel responds, for what?
Then he disappears, goober.
Deeply, deeply cute. Hey, what do you think of this next scene that takes place in the Hyperion lobby when Wes comes in looking to do a little kidnapping?
Well, my first note is Wes coming to kidnap Connor. What do you think?
As if I, like, wasn't in enough knots in this episode. Mm-hmm. This sequence is so tense, is so masterfully done. I cannot believe I watched it two times in the same week, and I have not dropped dead of a heart attack.
Imagine watching it live.
How did you live?
I barely did not. I lived because there was a 6-week break after this episode.
monsters.
It's like, yes, I was like, well, I wouldn't know what happens next, but also I'm like, I need a break from the show.
Oh, yeah, you needed a second to breathe, whereas me, like the gremlin, is like, next episode, next episode. Wes is packing Connor's bag, and then Lauren shows up and is like, what are you doing? And Wes is like, I'm taking Connor. I talked to Angel about it. Like, everything's cool.
Yeah, and Wes doesn't even know about the blood thing.
Like, that wouldn't have helped to know about it. So Connor starts fussing, and Wes sings a little bit to him to soothe him. This is where I do want to ding. This is my one gripe. A lot of people are, like, accidentally singing in front of Lorne this year. Like, and Wes is the person who it makes least sense to do it.
I mean, he is not thinking straight. He is about to do a kidnap, but still.
Yes, I do agree that he's under duress, and I will allow it to slide. But I was just like, huh, lots of accidental singing this season. But
you sing, as we know from all of our singing on podcasts, you sing more often than you think you would.
And I'm like, look, Wes isn't me. Like, if it was like if he was singing S Club 7's Viva La Fiesta to this baby, then maybe I'd buy it. But instead, he's like, Tululu. And I'm like, what is this? So this moment where Lauren reads him and they just look at each other and it's like, okay, what are we going to do about this?
Every time I watch this, I'm like, hey, Wesley, maybe don't beat the shit out of Lauren. That's not good. That's bad. Wesley, don't do that.
It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're beating up Lauren, you're on the wrong side of history.
Now's the time to come clean, Wesley.
Very much. And I was like, this whole time, I was like, pick up a phone. Call Cordelia Chase. She has been in this with you long enough that she knows that you are trying to do the right thing. And she knows that Angel, you know, wants them to kill him if, you know, if it comes to that, like all of that stuff. That's who you need to talk to. And I think they handled like Charisma being on her honeymoon like so well in terms of the plotting, like where they placed it.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when you said that that was like her honeymoon, because it feels like it's so necessary for her to be gone for this to happen, which I thought was really interesting.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
So, Wes and Lauren fight, and Wes knocks him out, and he grabs Connor, and he's gonna go. Then Angel shows up. How do you imagine it feels to be about to kidnap a child and be looking its father in the eye?
Not great, Bob. See, this is the stuff we can feel so bad for Wesley about, because, like, the Fred Gunn stuff, obviously, we took him to task, as you may all remember. But here, mm-hmm. I can't be mad at him. I'm frustrated with how he did not tell anyone he did this. But, like, I don't know. It stresses me out.
You can see where he's coming from. Like, I think they do such a good job at showing you why he feels like there's nothing else to be done. Like, because it isn't there aren't a lot of other options. Like, I mean, calling Cordelia, I think, is the one. But I mean, she's not there. Like, what if she told Angel? Like, then it's not worth telling. Like, and all of that stuff. Like, he is in a very tight spot, and it is very tense. And Alexis Denisoff plays it so wonderfully. Like, so does David Boreanaz with, like, how he's so relaxed around Wes, and he's truly playing the relationship as it's always been. Whereas, like, Wes is freaking out and is like, yeah, I was going to take Connor for a sleepover so we could go to the park across from my place. And Angel's like, you know what? Like, in light of everything, that's probably a good idea. And then Wes says, want to say goodbye? And Angel holds his son for the last time.
When you say it like that, thanks a lot, Morgan.
Hey, I did not know how to be. I did not know what to do. Angel is just, like, cuddling with his son and is like, hey, there's this guy like Sajan. Have you heard of him? Like, can you look him up before you go? And Wes, like, you can just feel the tension. He's like, I have to get out of here. Like, when are they going to find the body? Like, this situation is untenable. To make matters even worse, Gunn and Fred come back. I write in all caps, tense, exclamation point, ticking clock, exclamation point, I want to die. Wes, like, finally makes it out with Connor. And he has, like, one last moment where he, like, looks over his shoulder at all of them. And he's like, goodbye, I guess. And it's just, like, those moments are the things that, like, absolutely destroy me, when you see someone knowing everything is about to change. What did you think of Gunn being like, don't worry, we'll stay up with you?
What do you think I thought of that? Yay!
I bet you liked it. I wrote so many hearts in my notes.
I'm about to have more hearts for Gunn later, actually, in this episode.
Hell yes, hell yes. But then we hear the soft sounds, the dulcet tones of Lorne coming to. But before anything can come of that, Holtz and his goons enter. So Angel's like, hey, Holtz, do you know why Sajan hates me?
Holtz, yeah, like, I didn't quite get what his deal is, he says.
And Holtz is like, I don't fucking care. Where's the baby? And Angel's like, he's out.
Baby's day out.
Baby's day out. I wish Connor was out on a fun little baby errand.
I'm actually gonna call for the coroner myself. Because how would you know? How would you know that I have a story
about Baby's Day Out?
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson. What the fuck? It 40 is hot. Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep.
It's not a big deal, but it was in the movie theater during Baby's Day Out that I got felt up for the first time by a boy. So, LaToya, for the for the listeners at home, LaToya's entire face is hidden in her hands. She has probably died. She's not really moving or breathing. Morgan's mouth is agape. Do you know how rare it is to get a reference to Baby's Day Out? This is your least favorite Kristen's Corner today.
I hate it.
This is my most favorite.
I was so unexpected.
Did this boy have a fun middle school name that we can bleep out? I love hearing the names of people's middle school crushes.
His name was...
He does. For the listener, he did have a great fucking name. It's bleeped for privacy. But send me...
What a fucking name.
If you'd like to DM me on Instagram your middle school crush's names, just because...
Creep.
I love a good like middle school, high school name. It's great.
Anyway, on that note, get the fuck out of my corner.
I would love to.
No, let me stay forever.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner.
Wow. I want to briefly highlight Lauren's big fighting move, which is singing a high note that like shatters glass when he wakes up. I'm obsessed.
Fred shoots a guy in the back.
Well, which is also very cool, but I feel like that's a little more traditional as a fighting move than like singing some super high pitch.
They're people.
That is bad, but they are people that are attacking you. You know, that's self-defense, I guess.
Poorly.
So Holtz runs. Fred is like, I better call Wes, like, you know, to let him know what's going on. And Lauren's like, actually, Wes did this to me. He's been to see Holtz twice behind your back, and he's taking the baby, not for the night, but for good.
Cut to Wes with the baby in a suitcase.
And who comes limping around? But old Clompy Boots herself, Justine. She's like, you were right. He doesn't give a shit about me. And he went after the baby. And Wes is just like at first he had a gun on her and he was like, don't come closer. And then his stupid heart gets in the way and he can't hear me yelling through the TV, Wes, run. Wes, don't trust that bitch.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll kill him for this. Like, what are you going to do? You aren't good.
Yeah,
like, you can't tail someone for shit. He can kick your ass. Like, what are you gonna do? Poisonous tea? He would probably know. You're not good at this.
With whose arms and legs will you do this, Justine? Like, and Wes is like sweet and wants to help and is like, we gotta get you to a hospital. And she's like, yeah. And then she lunges at him, slits his fucking throat and takes the baby.
So Justine slitting Wes's throat is the part that traumatized me as a youth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really scary.
I don't like people stabbing people in the neck, slicing things. There's only a reason I've only seen one ER episode, and it's the one where like a psychopath like injects people and like leaves them for dead. That's the one episode I've seen. I'm never watching another episode of ER ever again.
No, you don't need to. Don't. There's a lot of slicing. Episode.
Middle school me, this is what I was doing in middle school when I was going to like nerd things and we're all watching ER because everyone watches ER. Like, I guess I'll watch this one episode. People are getting injected by a psychopath and it ends with like them gurgling their own blood and dying.
Ooh, no. Because that's
I did not sleep that night.
On these shows, like, there's a lot of quote unquote violence, but it's mostly like punch, kick, chop. Like, you don't often see a slice. Like,
yeah. I mean,
you see a gentle palm slicing many a time, but not this. And this is really, really upsetting.
This aired after Seventh Heaven.
Right after Aunt Julie's intervention. Can I guess that your hearts for gun are in this next scene?
Yes. Yes, they are. Gun just keeps sticking up for Wes this entire scene. They're still friends, even if Wes doesn't know it.
That, like, that is, that, like, that helps. I feel like that softens the blow on the throat slitting, the idea that he still has a friend. Wes isn't answering his phone or his pager. Angel's like, then I gotta find Holtz. Gunn really, again, tries to de-escalate things. He's like, maybe you should, like, think about this and, like, what you want. And Angel's like, I'm not going to think about shit, and, like, lunges at him. They start fighting. And I want to give Fred some points for really, like, worming her way in between two very strong, very intimidating people and shoving them apart. Like, that was such a... like, that felt like such a decisive and, like, bold action on her part that I really, like, loved. Good for her. You go, girl. But, yeah, she's like, look, there's one thing that matters, and that is finding Connor. And Angel's off, and Fred and Gunn are like, we have to find Wes before Angel does. It's really come to this.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it one bit. So our next scene's, like, outside Holt's house. Lila and, like, her whole, like, crew of Wolfram and Hart hired mercenaries are there. And Holtz hasn't come back to the mansion. And they get word that he's actually downtown.
I am curious how Wolfram and Hart heard what was happening.
Informants? I mean, the same way they found out Holtz was downtown, I assume they have people, like, looking for him and, like, tailing him at a distance and keeping, like, aware of his movements.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when Angel kind of, like, sneaks in one of the Humvees and, like, throws a guy out, and so he's also in the big chase to find to find Holtz. Then our next scene, Justine in Wes's car picks up Holtz, and Holtz, like, looks back at Connor in his car seat. Looks like he's doing okay. He's still in his overalls. And he's like, I'm your dad now, and Justine's your mom. I write, ew, in all caps. No!
Oh, yeah, she's calling him Daniel all episode. It's like, you guys have no chemistry.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't, it's like, no one can put their finger on what this is.
What is their deal?
What is their deal? I don't care for it. He tells Connor that his new name is Stephen Franklin Thomas and that they're gonna live together in, like, a ranch in Utah. No, I say. This is when I put my foot down and I say, no, that's not gonna happen. Angel's, like, Humvee cuts them off. We have a tiny little car chase that ends pretty quick, and we're all suddenly in a big standoff. Holtz has got the baby. Angel's in the middle, and Lila and all her mercenaries are on the other side with a bunch of big old guns. And Lila's like, give me the baby. And Angel says, don't.
And I say, it's fuck watch time.
Fuck watch.
It's Gunn. He's versus Texas. He loves California. He sticks up for Wes even though things have gone bad. It's Gunn.
Check that tux. Check that bod. Sign me up for the gun squad. Did someone say Golden God? I'm all in on the gun squad. Game boy playing, handball king. Sign me up for the gun squad, even when he's curmudgeoning. I'm all in on the gun squad.
Bang, bang.
Little Charles gonna shoot his shot.
Bang, bang.
Cracking skulls up and down the block.
Bang, bang.
Gotta smile and make the panties drop.
Bang, bang.
Gun squad. Gun squad.
I am just, like, deciding if this is a good time to shoot my Fred shot, because she just looks so pretty and she's so brave. You know what, Fred, I'm so proud of her. She was very brave in this app, and her hair looked so pretty, and I just want to give her a hug. I'm proud
once
of
again
her.
Our fuck watches are gonna fuck.
Look, I love that our fuck watches are coming in pairs now.
Watch.
So it's interesting that this moment, Angel would rather Holtz have the kid than Wolfram and Hart have the kid. And again, that's like bringing up that like he knows Holtz is like a better person than, you know, Lila, which is, you know, again, a world's smallest, you know, barrier to jump over. But it's something. So Lila's like, Holtz, these are fucking automatic weapons we have. I know you don't know what those are, but they're gonna fuck you up. And Angel's like, yeah, but also you're not shooting, which means you want Connor alive. And we all want Connor alive, right? Like, says Holtz. And then Sajjan appears and is like, not me.
And Lila is like, who cares what Sajjan wants? He's impotent in this dimension.
Men do not like being called impotent, Lila.
I'm not a eunuch.
I wish Sajjan had said that. So Angel like beats up a mercenary and grabs a gun and points it right at Lila. Holtz is like, look, let me take the baby. I'll take him. I'll raise him away from you. He won't know who you are, but he'll be safe. And Angel agrees to it. And Holtz is like, I don't know. Maybe it's easier to just kill him because, well, how could I ever know that you wouldn't come after me? Maybe it's just better this way. And Angel says, no, like, please take him. I'm unwell.
Mr. Dad.
I mean, is there a better choice here, LaToya? Like, do you think there is? Like, I don't know if there is.
There is not. No. There's, every other choice would end in bloodshed, basically. A lot of difficult choices happening in these episodes.
Yeah, over
but here. But Sajjan's like, no, it's very easy.
Sajjan. So he opens this portal to Kortoth, which he calls the darkest of dark worlds. And he's like, basically like, I'll put all of you in there if you don't kill the baby.
Because, yeah, he's like really versus this baby now, even though Angel's supposed to be his sworn nemesis.
I'm like, that's really embarrassing. Having a baby nemesis, that's humiliating. If your nemesis is a baby, you're pathetic. I have no sympathy. I'm not intimidated by you. Good luck fighting your baby. So Lila's like, okay, fine, kill the baby. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't want to go to hell. And Holtz, for no reason, shoves
bitch ass move. Yeah.
I'm like, what time did that save? That is very much like Arrested Development. Like, we switched the coolers. It's like, that'll buy you a second. Like, he shoves her and then
and she's
runs.
Just shouting, Daniel.
Oh. Justine is cringe. Justine is posting cringe on Maine whenever she calls him Daniel. I cannot. I will not. Holtz runs into the portal and Sajjan's like, cool, works for me. And Justine runs away. Lila's annoyed. Sajjan departs with a have a great summer. And then we're just left with Angel just like on the ground, like whimpering in pain.
Yeah, Lila says, let him suffer.
How did you go 6 weeks? Were you just
with
sleepless?
The nightmares on a loop of Wes being having his throat slit. So there was that.
I
didn't want to be reminded of that. I didn't want to see that in the previously, so I was good.
Fair enough. I just want to salute you for getting through that because, good, that would have been a painful hiatus. And that's Sleep Tight, and it absolutely destroyed me.
Your soul is aching, as the song would say.
The song would and should say that. This, like, I gotta say, it was really nice having a happy Angel while we had him.
Yeah. Wesley's bleeding out in the park right now.
Every second is another second Wesley is bleeding out alone in the park, left alone with his own thoughts.
But still more fun than season 6 of Buffy. Up top!
Woo!
Hit him with the plugs, buddy.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AngelOnTopCast. You can find us on Patreon by going to AngelOnTop.com, where we have a live watch that we did of First Impressions from a while ago that you can catch up with if you'd like. Very fun Cordy and Gunn mess around that we had a really fun time talking about. And our movie podcast, Girls on Film, which had a Down with Love episode, a Legally Blonde episode, and we'll soon have an Anna Karenina episode. And LaToya, where can the people find you?
Don't.
If you want to find me, you can find me at Lorgan Mudich. I retweet LaToya a fair amount. So maybe you can get enough of that through there. Maybe you'll find her through that.
Later, Scoobies.
Later, Skaters.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.